It's a nice time of year. I just wish it could just continue all year long. People doing nice things for people. Waiting in the Dunkin' Donut line to find out that when you arrived to pick your stuff up, that it was already paid. Huh? Merry Christmas to me. Isn't it nice? That kind of love should be shed abroad every day. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for your wonderful and many blessings. Father, bless this offering wherever it goes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love this time of year. I love the music. I love what it stands for. I'm going to tune you in and have to catch you up for what we did last week. Last Sunday was Christmas and prophecy ? The word Christmas is not mentioned in the Bible. It comes from two words meaning Christ's mass. So the word is not mentioned in the scriptures. We celebrate Jesus' birthday. We talked about some of the other birthdays that are mentioned in the Bible. We know that Jesus' birthday was not in December. Oh, I forgot. Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Thank you. All right. Got to back up a little bit. Hit reverse. All right. It's good to see so many of you here today. Glad to have you. All right. We need to do something else. I need to ask the Lord to help me. Heavenly Father, help me to share this precious word that each and every one can receive what you would want them to receive. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So this is part two of a message that was shared last Sunday, Christmas and prophecy ? The birthday of Jesus certainly did not occur in December. So, Brother Roger, why do we celebrate his birthday in December? Because in December was a pagan holiday. And like we do with many pagan holidays, Christians make good out of what's happening in that holiday. And that's just how it happens. We make good come out of it. So instead of a pagan feast in December, we celebrate Jesus' birthday. His birthday would have been probably in very early spring, late March, early April. The reason that we know that is because the angel came to the shepherds as they were keeping their flocks by night. They don't keep their flocks by night out in the fields in December. It would be too cold. They're usually kept in stables. So we know it did not occur. His birthday did not occur in December, but we celebrate it. We celebrate it as such. I don't have a problem with that, and you shouldn't either. It gives us an opportunity to share about our dear Lord. And so we're thankful each year to talk about the birth of Jesus. It gives us opportunity to do that. There were only a few birthdays in the Bible mentioned, and we mentioned that last Sunday. In Genesis, the birthday of Pharaoh, and in the New Testament, the birthday of Herod. Those are the only two birthdays that are recorded in the scriptures. And so that brings us to the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there to the book of Matthew. I'm just going to be in Matthew. I'll be reading some other scriptures that the prophets shared. Matthew spoke to the Jews. It was Matthew's purpose to convince the Jews that this Jesus that you hear of, who is living in Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem, but he's living in Nazareth, and it's Joseph and Mary's son, you know, Joseph the carpenter. Everybody knew him. That's why Jesus couldn't do many miracles in Nazareth, because of their unbelief, because everybody there knew him. They watched him grow up. They knew his parents. And the Bible says a prophet does not receive honor in his own country, and certainly Jesus didn't receive any honor in his own country, in his own city. Nazareth was quite a rough town. In fact, John said that, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was a pretty rough town. We don't know exactly what purpose or what was going on in the town, but it didn't have a very good reputation. A first prophecy that Matthew deals with is from Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. And of course, Matthew, now I'm going to catch up where you should be, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew deals with this prophecy in the book of Micah. Chapter 2, verse 5. Actually, I like to read verse 4. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. This is Herod the Great that's doing this. He's heard that a king is going to be born. Herod was a ruthless ruler. He'd kill anybody that would try to take his throne, and that's what he had in mind with this baby as well. And so he has gathered the chief priests and scribes together. And he wanted to know where he was to be born. Well, it's interesting that the chief priests and scribes knew where Jesus was to be born, but they never figured out that he came so that he could be born in their hearts, not in Bethlehem, but he desired to be born in their hearts. They never figured that out. He was the true Messiah, but not an earthly Messiah, a heavenly Messiah, whose desire was to live in your hearts. And of course, they knew physically where he was going to be born. Verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. That's almost word for word, 600 and some years before Jesus was born, 700 probably, closer to 700. And Micah the prophet shared those words. Well, then when Herod, he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Baloney. He had no desire to worship him. He wanted to kill him. That was his desire. Reading on further, book of Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. So we're realizing now he's not at the stable. But you know, the Christmas plays have the wise men all at the stable. The nativity scenes always have the wise men there. I mean, it's part of the Christmas story. But they came to see Jesus much later. It didn't all happen when they were in the stable because it doesn't say anything about a stable here. It says a house, probably in Nazareth, where he grew up. Don't say anything that they came to the stable. It's all part of the nativity setting. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts, Christmas time. If I want to liken some things, I suppose that's probably where we get the idea of the gifts. The gifts is a good thing. It's not such a good thing if you don't have the money to buy them. It makes it pretty rough, doesn't it? And this is what happens in Christmas time. People who really don't have the means try to buy gifts for everybody. It makes for a lot of stress. It makes for a lot of payments in January and February, you know what I mean? Christmas doesn't need to be like that. Just a simple card saying, you're my gift for Christmas. I'm happy to have you. I like that Mariah Carey. Isn't she the one that sings it? You're my gift for Christmas. That's the way it should be. You see, what we do with Christmas is one thing, but what the marketeers do with it is quite another. They sell more things in December than they do all the months added together. And so it becomes commercialized. It becomes something God never intended Christmas to be. Never intends that to be, for people to go out and spend money they don't have. No wonder there's so much stress at Christmas time. Doesn't need to be that way. How many times have a spouse here today in the midst have said, "Honey, what do you want for Christmas? Did you ever hear this? All I want is you." Hello. Huh? You ever said that to you? I have. I've said that to my spouse. And I mean that. I really mean that. It don't need to be all about presents and gifts. A lot of times the kids get fussing, fighting over a gift. "I wanted red. Why did you get me blue?" When they were smaller, they played with the boxes and the packages. Should have just went and got boxes for them. They liked the box better than what was in the box. Celebration of Christmas keeps moving up, keeps getting closer to Thanksgiving. In the month of November, you start seeing Christmas stuff. Is it no wonder we get stressed? I wonder what they're going to do with Thanksgiving. You know, I have an inkling. I've already heard part of it. Instead of Thanksgiving, it's what day? You heard it too. Turkey Day. Yeah. Why do we have such a hard time saying thankful? Thanksgiving. What's wrong with that? Being grateful. Being thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this time of year. I do enjoy this time of year. But don't be stressed out with it. Enjoy it for what it is. It is an opportunity to celebrate our Savior's birth. Aren't you glad he came? He came here to die for you and me, to redeem us, to save us. That's why he came. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "Why don't you answer me?" He was silent. "Answer me. What is truth?" Pilate didn't recognize truth because truth was standing in his midst. Everything that was truth was standing in his midst in Pilate's hall that day. And Pilate says, "What's truth?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Aren't you glad you recognize the truth today? You're here today because of him. Aren't you glad you've recognized the truth? He is the truth. Going on a little further. Gifts. We were at gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to talk about frankincense and myrrh. Do you know there's a fellow in Israel that's making real frankincense and myrrh? It's a plant. And he's trying to make a business out of it. I just read it in one of my magazines. And it's one of those things. I have oils up here that have frankincense and myrrh in. They put them in the anointing oils. When you go to the Bible bookstore, they have the anointing oils, the little jars that about as big as my finger and about that long, and they put frankincense and myrrh in the anointing bottles. It's quite a nice fragrance. Verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. This is the wise men. The wise men were warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. Now you know this is going to make Herod really angry. We're going to get to that. And so they departed into their own country another way. Isn't it interesting? It's nice. It's good that there's another way to go somewhere. You know, my wife and I have this discussion usually when we're traveling. She'll say, Why do you go this way? Well, I always go this way. Well, I don't ever go this way. I go this way. Huh. I'm glad there's a couple ways to go. Aren't you? Oh, you probably don't have that conversation. And then my reply is, you see any pedals on your side? That means I'm doing the driving. That's what I tell her. You see any pedals over there? That's extra. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I got myself so fouled up, I lost my place. Oh, they'd be deported in their country another way. That's how that rabbit got loose. I'll try to stick with the text. All right, verse 13, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there was there until the death of Herod. That, and here's what Matthew is good at. He's trying to convince the Jews that this is Jesus of Nazareth who will be your Messiah, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. Hosea was the prophet, chapter 11 and verse 1, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. Whew. Can you imagine that? According to the time when he had diligently inquired of the wise men. And Matthew again tells us of another prophecy that was fulfilled, and this was from Jeremiah the prophet. Chapter 31 and 15, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. When Herod was dead, possibly in the spring of 4 BC, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus, which is actually Herod Antipas, which is the son of Herod the Great, and when he heard that he did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go hither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Now, there is a part of a man that we can identify with. He was told it's going to be okay, but he still had that physical part that we all have, that bit of fearfulness. Huh? We've all been there. We all had a part of that. Joseph is showing this. He was already warned by an angel. It's fine, just go in. But notwithstanding is the word I'm using, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and he dwelt in a city that is called Nazareth, that it might be, and here again is what the prophet foretold, and Matthew is calling everybody to witness it, that was spoken by the prophets, that he shall be called a Nazarene. Some had thought that he would be a Nazarite, or been, that's what the artists show him, a conception of long hair, but he was not a Nazarite. If he had been a Nazarite, he would have never cut his hair, because Nazarites had to take a vow that they were not allowed to cut their hair. But Jesus was not a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene from the little town called Nazareth. All right. That's probably a good place to stop right there. All right. You can have the little ones come. Andy, you can go back and have them come in. Come back into the service.